But on tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to go to Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to recap, but I'm going to actually teach some more on the verses that I just taught you, since it's been a hiatus of about a week or so. And that way it's fresh back in your heart. And then when you see these things in your notes that are not there, it's because I'm reteaching something to you. When we got together last time, we ended at chapter or verse 7. But I'm gonna go ahead and just go over all that again. So Revelation chapter 12, remember, it's very important that you understand chapter 12. There is a lot of discrepancy and a lot of different teachings out there concerning chapter 12. And it matters how you see this and how you receive it, because it determines your theology, your view on Israel, your view on the rapture, your view on America, and so many different views. So if you miss this particular understanding, or you hold on to a former teaching and don't take the opportunity to retrain your brain. Right. Let me try that again. You have to retrain your brain. And that's one of the biggest things that people have obstacles in, is they resist new teaching and they don't allow their brain to be retrained. And you have to do that. I don't say that you take it hook, line, and sinker. Study, but don't resist it at first. And that's what happens a lot of times. People resist. We all do that. New information, new revelation brings resistance, usually first, until we pray about it and discern, study it, and then we go, wow, okay, I never saw that before. Okay? God put this chapter in this position, in this place, so we could learn some theological principles. Okay, so there's some theological principles that we have to learn from this particular chapter that's going to really help us understand tons of information of the past and tons of information towards the future. One of the things I said last time was that John was a pastor and he was also a teacher. So in his writings and the way that he comes across, he doesn't just come across as a revelator, somebody whose eyes are falling back in their head like a dying calf. Come on, you ever been around somebody who tries to prophesy and they're scary? They almost like Casper. I have a word for you. I don't want it. You know what I mean? I don't need that. Get away from me, man. You're scaring me. Here's a Tic Tac. We've all been in those positions, but that's not exactly who he was. I mean, he was a man of God. And so when you read the way the writings are, even though it was divinely inspired by God and by the Holy Ghost, you still have the man principle, the writer's principle, the writer's touch, just the way Paul wrote. That's why we can look at the book of Hebrews and we can say Paul wrote that. You know, theologians will argue back and forth, but if I look at the penmanship and the wording, hey, that's Paul all over it. But I wouldn't fight anybody over it. It's just what we believe. So John was a pastor, and he's about to teach us. God is going to allow that teaching gift to come out in this particular verse. And again, if you adhere to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, as the rapture, I won't be able to help you too much. You'll be stuck in that pre-trib bubble, and you'll resist what I'm saying, and then you'll misconstrue chapter 12. But if you'll lay that down for a second, you have to go back and get all the other teachings on where I take you past that and bring you to the revelation of where the rapture is to really understand. But if you can just lay that down for a minute, you'll begin to see something you never saw before in this particular chapter. So it's very important that you do that. Again, you'll miss what's being said here. And I said last time, I'm going to end up ruffle your feathers, and that happens because you have that mindset. Now, I'll show it to you a little more. I told you this will define what you believe about the rapture, and this will define what you believe about Israel. Also, the third thing we talked about, it will define what you believe about who Jesus is and some points of this chapter and historically. So that's a tall order to unpack, and we're going to unpack that together. Remember, this chapter is placed between the first 3.5 years of tribulation and the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation. Okay? It also answers why God is doing certain things. So watch this. Now let's go into this. Verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, or a mega sign. Megas, a mega sign in heaven. Okay, and I want you to, under great wonder, great sign, just circle that in either your Bible or your notes, preferably your notes, because I want to show you something. There appeared a great wonder or a great sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, I told you this last teaching, that this deals with Israel. And I will go over some of that again about Israel. But there are other teachings out there that say this represents the Virgin Mary. This represents vertigo. All these different things that are out there. And it's not. It deals with Israel. Some say it deals with the church and the 12 apostles. It deals with Israel. Why am I telling you this? Because if you don't see this historically and you don't understand it's about Israel, then you're going to miss what the plan of God is. Watch this. And this is where I'm starting my fresh nuggets for tonight. The whole Exodus story about Israel in the Old Testament is going to be replayed in the New Testament for the church and really for the one new man, which is Israel, and which is the church, Israel being born again, and the church, the one new man, okay? Jew and Gentile coming together under what? The blood of Jesus, being born again. Nobody gets an inclusion. Nobody gets a free pass. So this is dealing with salvation. But you're looking at, from the beginning of Book of Revelation to the end of the Book of Revelation, you're looking at the exodus of the church, or the final plan of God, the final escape, if you will, of God taking his people, the righteous, out of a wicked world to deal with a Pharaoh and to destroy him. It's the same overlay, but it is exploded by a thousand beyond thousand times that I could ever explain to you, because what we see happening is off the Richter scale. We can somewhat go back to the Old Testament and calculate and say, okay, massive amount of frogs, massive amount of flies, lice, and we see all these things, the Goshen moment, the firstborn were dead, waters turned into blood. We can see that historically, encapsulate that, and say, okay, I can imagine how that happens. You take the book of Revelation, and you're floored. You're absolutely floored when you start seeing scorpions and locusts and entities and Nephilim and all these other things. So my best way to explain it is it's beyond your imaginations of what God is going to do, but you have to understand it is about rescuing the church. It's about bringing the church, bringing the righteous out of this world that is going to be destroyed. And who would be the example of all that? Would be Israel. Israel, okay? So let's look at that again. So there appeared a great wonder in heaven, or a sign, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So let's go over that just real quick, as we did before. Again, if you follow the path that is some other description of somebody else or the church, then you're going to miss this, okay? Remember, we do not participate in replacement theology. Let me say this again and again and again. God is not done with Israel. The political Israel, the natural side of government, has issues like any government in the world. So much is going on in that nation, just like it is in any nation. But God chose that nation. He chose that people. He chose that land. He has kept that land, and he will always keep that land. And again, he's headed there, not to Boston.
That's right.
He may like their beans, but he's not headed to Boston. Okay? We have to understand that. And I don't replace them. And you don't replace them. We're engrafted into the vine. Okay?
That's right.
So the 12 stars are not the 12 apostles. Well, I gave you Malachi 4:12. We won't go back over that, but the Son of Righteousness. Genesis 37:9 really is the founding of like a foundational scripture, really, for all that is, what Joseph, his dream, and all those different things. And remember that the Bible always interprets the Bible. So we use that as a bedrock foundational truth of Genesis 37:9. I won't go back over and read it. Remember that dealt with 11 stars. Joseph is what? The 12th. Okay? These are the sons of Jacob, and they deal with Israel. Again, if you believe what I just told you, that this is the Exodus story of end time proportions, then you understand it's dealing with Israel and not with the church. Because remember, God has given us a historical lesson here. Okay? And he's using John the teacher, John the pastor, to do that. And that will make more sense momentarily. Okay? So the woman always represents reproduction or birth. Pretty much, you don't look at a man and say, boys, how far along are you? Well, maybe some you do. But, you know, the woman always represents reproduction or birth. Okay? The sun and the moon represent the feast and the authority of God, represents the whole creative thing, represents this whole authority. Her head, which is what? The place of authority. So we're seeing some things here, some symbolism that brings us to the understanding that God had a plan and God has a plan for Israel. So let's go to the next verse. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Do you not think Israel has been in pain? I think Israel's been in pain. In their first Exodus, they were in pain. Great pain. They were trying to give birth to the nation itself. They were trying to get out of Egypt and go through the desert and go through all the stuff that they went through, go through all those battles. Remember we talked about that in Exodus? We talked about in Deuteronomy and how they went through all of these things to get over into the promised land. Moses couldn't make it, but he saw it. Joshua took them on over and they possessed the land. But they had to defeat their enemies, didn't they? They lost in some battles, and different things took place. So they really pained to come into being that nation. Okay? So we know that. Has the church given birth to anything? Not really. I mean, name something the church has really given birth to. The church itself, the universal church. We have no historical, biblical landmark, nothing to go back and say, oh, the church gave birth to this. No, the church was birthed. The church never gave birth. Now, we give birth in the sense that we make sons and daughters unto the Lord, and we go through epochs, you know, times and periods of great events, and the church goes through great revivals, and you can say, oh, we birthed a revival. But that's not what this is speaking of. The church has never really birthed anything of such significance that it would be documented this way. Okay, so I'm really building this foundation more than I did last time. Travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. So again, Israel has been in tremendous pain. You know, do you think it was easy for Israel to go through the Holocaust? Do you think it was easy for Israel to become a nation? Or the Six-Day War? Or it's easy for Israel to do what they do today to keep their people safe? Again, I understand there are discrepancies and problems with governments. There's uses of force. There's a lot of things there. We get it. We understand. And God will judge. In fact, God does judge. He judges every nation when they use a rod of iron and they use a heavy hand. He has a way of dealing with it. But that doesn't take them out of the picture. Okay? So let's go to the next verse. You have to tell this because replacement theology people, they get all bonkers about it. Really, it's anti-Semitism. And there appeared another wonder. Now, what did I tell you in the first part, chapter 1, to circle what? The great wonder. Now he's describing just another wonder. I'm showing you this because of the difference. The emphasis of God was on what was happening with Israel. That's the emphasis. The emphasis is this is a great sign. This is what I want you to see. Oh, by the way, here's another one. Read it that way because that's the way it's worded. and there appeared another wonder in heaven. In other words, my focus is on what God is doing on the earth and what God is birthing and what God's plan is, not what the devil's up to. That's a great time for you to run around the building and shut off YouTube, people. It's what God's doing in the earth, okay? So there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. Okay, so we're not going to go into all the details until later on, but what that's basically talking about is his dominion and his kingdom, okay? He is a foe. He is an enemy, and he's not something to be lightened as far as saying, well, you know, it's just the devil. No, there's going to be great wrath that's going to come. But God is showing us something here. So Israel is about to give birth. Is that right? She travails, and there appears another sign, the great dragon. Okay? Remember, it deals with his authority, his anointing, his dominion. All of this is unholy. Seven is a number of completion. Also the seven seas, a false kingdom of the devil. So that's kind of a little in a nutshell what I want to tell you first until we get into much, much later in other chapters. But that's what it's referring to. Now you're going to get some people on YouTube or whatever that will tell you exactly, well, the seven horns, there's the seven Democrats that took down 10 Republicans. And I mean, it was a mess, but that's the word I got. Look, man, let the Bible interpret the Bible. It will show you the truth, okay? But you just got to understand, he is going to have... See, I don't want to jump ahead of myself because that's the problem of being a preacher, teacher. I want to jump out and preach it. But he is going to have so much authority on the earth. He is going to have so much dominion. He is literally going to bring hell on earth. And I'm going to show that to you in a minute because... we have a misconception of this. Yes, we do win at the end. Yes, 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 God is in control. Yes, this is a book of Revelation about Jesus Christ. But there is bad, bad, bad actors and bad players. Just like Israel, go back to Exodus, please. The way to understand the book of Revelation is go back to Exodus and think about how bad Pharaoh was. And then just, again, multiply that off the Richter scale. Anything you can think of, nastiness and violence, and the meanest, vile person, you can't even describe it or connect it to the devil. I mean, it's just I'm gonna do my best to try to show you this. It's just amazing thing. Okay, so that's why that's in there, so you can get a glimpse of that. You can't even attribute to Al Capone or anybody. It's just an amazing thing that's going to happen. All right, so let's go. Next verse. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Okay, so we know that happened, right? We know that took place, and we're going to share a little more in a minute. And did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Well, we know who the child was. The child is the Lord Jesus. So God is here. Go back to verse 1. He's given us a historical picture, going back to Joseph, going back to the birthing of Israel, going back to the dominion, going back and saying, you know, you're the apple of my eye. This is where I'm going to bring my son through. I'm going to bring the church through. I'm going to start my religion, if you will. I'm going to do it all through these people. And as I do this, they're going to be in great pain. They're going to be in great travail. They're going to be in great trouble. And as they're about to give birth to this miracle, to the salvation, deliverer, and savior, which is Jesus Christ, there's going to be an enemy that's going to try to destroy it. And did that happen? Yes. Let's go on. And she brought forth a man-child, not the 144,000 Jews. A man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Now, there are places where we reign and rule with the Lord, but this is speaking of sovereignty, lordship, kingship, being the sovereign reigning monarch of the universe. that he alone will reign with a rod of iron. He will go to the nations of the earth and he will deal with them. That isn't me and you. We're not going to get a bunch of little rods and start whacking people like we're playing whack-a-mole. How many of y'all played whack-a-mole? Did I get it right? Whack-a-mole at the carnival? The thing pops up and you hammer it down. Some people, yeah, I remember that, dude. The county fair. That's not going to be it. Our reigning and ruling with the Lord is going to be much like an ambassador. We go to him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to be a ruler over this. I want you to go over there and do this. I want you to, okay. We're not going to be over there with shotguns and billy clubs and tasers and, you know, where's Gaddafi? You know, we're not going to be that way. But I'm telling you, there's people that have that mindset when they read stuff like this. They're like, yeah. And they're at home practicing with their billy club. And it's like, no, man, you have the wrong spirit. Remember, the sons of thunder, you know, they wanted to call thunder down. Remember, they wanted to call lightning. They wanted to call, you know, let's destroy them. And Jesus said, what are you doing? You're acting like your father, the devil. All right? So he brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God, into his throne. Is that Jesus?
Yes,
Acts chapter 1. What are you looking for? He's left just like he said. But he'll be back like he said. Remember the angel? And the people are like, oh, you know, freaked out. Okay, so we know this, Lord. It's not the 144,000 Jews, and it's not the church. But again, if you have that mindset of the pre-tribulation rapture, oh yeah, we're caught up. No, that's not us. Next verse. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that she should be fed there 1,260 days. Okay, is the church going to run to the wilderness? We'll run to the wilderness with Israel, but it's not specifically speaking of the church. It's speaking of Israel. We will be a part of this. I believe that. I believe there'll be people helping out. I believe there'll be churches involved. Like I said about Petra, there's ministries that I've known this information for at least a decade or more, have been putting tracts and Bibles and stuff in Petra. And if you went and studied it, you'll know what I'm talking about with that walled type of castle. So I believe that we'll be mixed together. I believe that there'll be people who will migrate from America to Israel in the coming days. Whatever the Lord has for people, I don't know. I believe there's also, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I also believe there's going to be a tremendous tsunami of persecution of Jews and Christians that will push people into those regions of the world. And that's for another study and another time, okay? So the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared. We know that's Jordan, and that which would be Petra, and that she should be fed there, what, for 3.5 years. So we know now, as we're reading this, this is at what? The last 3.5 years. What is happening here? Let's look at it chronologically. So he's teaching us about Israel, the historical aspects of Israel, the historical authority of Israel, his plan for man through Israel. No matter how much you don't like that, that's true. They give birth to the Lord Jesus. The enemy tries to destroy him, can't do it. He goes up into heaven. So now it goes from the historical point of view to a prophetic view that tells us what? That there's going to come a time when that wrath is going to go away from the Lord Jesus and come after not only Israel, but the church too. So there's a change of scenes here to now it's prophetic. And what he's saying is, when the abomination that causes desolation takes place, they're going to flee into the wilderness. Matthew 24 says it. Without going back over it, Matthew chapter 24 says that they will flee. When? When the abomination of desolation takes place. The abomination that causes desolation. We know that's going to take place. And when it happens, they're going to have to flee. Okay? And we know the devil tried to kill Jesus from his birth. All through his ministry. He was a wanted man. Isn't that right? Okay? So I showed you that the woman fled into the wilderness. Again, returns to the scene of Matthew 24:15-22 and Revelation 11. You go look at that when you have an opportunity. So he's given us that prophetic understanding. So let's go to the next verse and we'll make it more clear. And there was war in heaven. Now watch this. Watch this. The abomination that causes desolation, where the Antichrist offers a sacrifice, does some type of act on the altar to defile the temple, stands up and says that he is God. He becomes possessed by the devil, literally by the devil. Well, how does he get possessed by the devil? You're going to see it right here in just a minute. So as this tremendous thing is taking place on earth, in heaven there's a war. In heaven there's a war. Watch this. There's a war in heaven. Michael and his angels. Michael's the only one that could fight. The archangel. He's the only one that could fight. And his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought in his angels. Next verse. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So here it is. When this takes place, God says, I've had enough. I'm done. I'm done with your mouth. I'm done with your pride. I'm done with your slander. I'm done with you accusing the brethren. Remember, right now, Satan has an opportunity to accuse the brethren, to go into the throne room of God. He goes to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour. But at this point, when the war comes, Michael and his angels defeat him in that heavenly place to where he's now cast out. Watch. He's cast out of that place. He can no longer go back to the throne of God. I would use a slang word, but he's really mad. Use the P word if you want. He's really mad. Think about this. He knows his time is short. He knows this is going to happen to him. He understands Scripture. He sees the plan. But it actually now has happened. And he's thrown out of heaven. So he's no longer in that heavenly place. He's now on earth. Watch this. He prevailed not, neither was a place found him anymore in heaven. Next verse. And the great dragon was cast out. Look at all the names he gets. The old serpent. What do you mean old serpent? The one that was in the garden.
Yep. Yep.
Called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into where? The earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Now watch this. This is why I'm trying to say, I don't know if I have the ability. Maybe if I was like Steven Spielberg and I was a movie guy, I could probably do it. But I'm not. So I can only do it the way I can do it with my hands and illustrate with my mouth. Hell literally comes to earth. Watch. This is literally the scene of the flood. What does that mean? It means this. That in the earlier chapters, what did I tell you happens in the shaft, in the abyss? It busts open, right? They open up the pit. The seal is taken off. And out of that pit comes hell. Remember that? The demons, the locusts, all that stuff, right? Now you have it coming from heaven. What happened in the flood? The fountains broke open and then the rain came down. It was a massive flood. You are going to see hell on earth. It's the best I can describe it. Hell will belch up out of the ground, and then hell will rain down from the heavens. That's heavy, isn't it? At the last part of that 3.5 years, because now we're entering into Satan's wrath. Okay? But the wrath of God is coming. This is why I say we're not appointed unto God's wrath, but we will be here at this particular point of wrath of the enemy. It's just where we are, and it's where the time frame leads us to. Okay? So let's go to the next verse. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. Listen to this. This is how you know I'm telling you the truth. Let me give you an example. I hate to use mother-in-laws, but let's find another person. Somebody you really didn't want to come over, but came over.
They stayed a couple days and now they're gone. And you really are glad they're gone. Maybe you had some family recently that done that. You know, at first when you see them, it's like, okay, great, yeah. And then day one goes by, day two, day three, day four. Oh my God, I'm going to kill them. You know, you go back in the, my wife and I always go back in the master room to talk. I'll be right back. I got to go to the bathroom. Oh yeah, me too. That's where we go back and talk, you know. She's like, I can't wait till they get out of here. I'm like, honey, those are your parents. No, she don't do that. But right? So picture this. We just gave you the first scene. Now heaven is saying, salvation has come, a strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. In other words, it's cleared. The error is cleared. Heaven is cleared. Satan is no longer there. His angels are no longer there. The accusers of the brothers are no longer there. And there's clear air, if you will. That's what that means. So I have the best illustration I can about getting rid of somebody. But hey, they got rid of them, right? There it is. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You say, why doesn't God do it now? Just flush him now. Because God is a God of order. He's bound by this right here. This Bible, this word, he's bound by it. We don't understand it sometimes. We don't understand his sovereignty. We're like, can you just break the rules one time for me? Just a little bit? And the Lord's like, I can't. You know? And that's why every generation cries out and say, God, Maranatha, God, do it now, do it now. And the Lord's like, look, I love you, but I can't. There's some things I can't do. And he's bound, and he's sovereign, and he's holy, and he's justice. He's justice. He's justified. He's all those things. He's righteous. And therefore, he can't do it. Though he would love to, he can't. He's bound by his word. Isn't that cool? So if you never saw it that way, that's what that means. Heaven has been cleared up. Next verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now wait a minute. What does that mean? Go back to verse 10. Ooh, I wonder who he's talking about. Is it the brethren? Oh, go to verse 9. Go to verse 8. Go back to the original verse there. It's the brethren. It's talking about the church. Read it again. What does it say? Go to verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It's in context. In other words, it seems like verse 11 is out of context, don't it? Because most preachers just preach it, you know, and say, oh yeah, the blood of the Lamb, we're victorious. And they never read you the whole thing and never read it into context. It's talking about the accuser of the brethren. He's been cast down and they overcame him. How? Right. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. Martyrdom. This is why, if you didn't get Sunday's message, you need to hear Sunday's prophetic word, that will be a banner for us, Revelation 12:11. That will be our marching orders. That will be something you need to read constantly and quote and prophesy, because that will be our shield and our strength. He's talking about the end times, in the last days, in the accuser of the brethren. Where is he at now? He's on the earth. Things change. It becomes a very drastic situation. And I know you say, well, I don't want to be here now, Pastor. I don't like this. I mean, giving out turkeys was awesome, but this is... No, I don't want to convey that, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm trying not to project fear. What I'm telling you, it's going to be absolutely disastrous for the earth to have the devil actually on it, working, and his minions and his demons. But God will be with us. Greater is he that's in us, he that's in this world. And that right there shows we're going to be using his word. We're going to be using the blood. And we're not going to worry about life. Do you read that again? That means we're going to be going, hey, whatever, man. I'm not afraid of you. What are you going to do, kill me? Boop, I'm in heaven. So I get a new body immediately. You know what I mean? Well, what are you going to do? I don't like the place I'm living at anyways. Can't stand the car. What, you know, all the things we think of humanistic things won't matter. In a moment, life is but a vapor. It's an incredible thing. So don't take it the wrong way and be freaked out. Read this as victorious. And they overcame him by the blood. They overcame who? The accuser of the brethren. I just said it. I'm going to overcome them. Yes. You know, you have to repeat this sometimes because, again, people hear the bad stuff you say, and then that's all they walk away with.
Pastor said we're going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it's just hell's coming. Hell, 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 hell.
No, man, heaven on earth too. God's going to fight for it. We just showed you that Michael and the angels are going to whoop up on the devil.
Yeah, great, and throw them down to us.
Well, you got to throw the trash somewhere. You might as well throw the trash here. All right, next verse. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Why? Because it's been cleared up. But here you go. Woe. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. I love this part here. Because who's the guy from Amazon? Bozazo? Who's got on them yachts, man? All those guys have yachts, Flo. You know about it. You keep up with them. Hey, no matter where they are, they're going to be in the Cayman Islands. Guess what? The devil's going to be there too. You're going to be in your little submarine. The devil's going to be there too. You're going to be in your little island somewhere in your little Speedos. The devil's going to be there too. Okay? I want you to see that. So it's the earth and the sea. Going back to the seven horns and all those things I showed you, his authority is going to be massive. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath. You think he's mad? He's mad. Here's the insanity. Here's the insanity. He knows the end. He knows he loses. He knows the word better than most preachers. Okay? He just got whipped up on, thrown out of his dominion that he's held on to for so long. He's now on earth, the place he's trying to rule. He knows he can't win, but yet he's mad. And he's going to try to win again. He's going to try still to win. That's insanity. But that's who you're dealing with. Okay? For the devil's coming down, you have a great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. Everybody say short time. His time on earth is short. He doesn't have that long. So there's going to be tremendous wrath that's going to be on the earth. Okay? Now you start moving into, and we will later on, which I'm not finished for tonight, because I'm going to try to get it all in. But as you move further, now you start moving into the mark of the beast. Now you start moving in, we put the pieces together for his hatred of man and the hatred of the church, of beheading and destroying God's people. Why? He's mad. And he has only a little time to do it. That's why I'm not worried about the Illuminati. I'm not worried about any other elite. I'm not worried about any plans of agendas of men. The one you need to be concerned about is when the great wrath of the enemy comes. Now, he'll use all those entities. I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying that my focus is on God and his book and his plan for me. I'm not worried about all the other things, okay? Because if I start worrying about them now, I'll be freaked out until the day comes. And that's what a lot of people are doing. And you're missing the point. You're missing moments. You're missing life. You're missing enjoying your Christianity. You're missing enjoying salvation and being in church. You're missing a lot by being caught up with these fortune tellers. Okay, so woe to the earth. Not good, right? Time is short for him. Verse 13, check this out. And when the dragon saw, read that with me. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, you know what that means? He was cast out by like lightning. He was cast out so fast, it was like he saw he was on earth. You ever fell? And you hit your head so hard, or your stomach, you get the air knocked out of you, and you go, where am I? And then you realize where you are? That's exactly what that's meaning. So this isn't where he gets his luggage packed, and he's going on an escalator down to heaven. This is, bam. Pew. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. Okay? So if you ever get hit by lightning, which I never have, thank the Lord, I don't think you just walk around going, man, that was cool.
Let's do it again. No, you don't even know who you are for a while. So he was, when he saw that he was cast unto the earth, can you imagine how mad he is? Listen to me, folks. The devil doesn't really want earth. Let me try that one more time. He really doesn't want earth. He could give a rip about you. He could give a rip about me. He could give a rip about our sensuality and our sexuality and all those different things that man is so freaked out over. He does not care. What he's always wanted was the throne.
Right.
He always has from the beginning. And he couldn't get it. So he tormented man, which is the apex of God's creation, the apple of his eye. And he did everything he could to destroy the plan of God of salvation, which he did not understand. Watch this. So now he's on this pitiful, I don't know, I'm just trying to be a used Q-tip. I mean, he's on this planet, and he's not happy with it. I'm going to tell you something. That's heavy-duty theology, but that's exactly the way it is. This is nothing. He doesn't want this. Heaven is beyond our words. He wants that. He'll never get it. So, he's going to try to take you with him. He's not taking me. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth what? The man-child. So again, now we're back in that prophetic revelation of what? The abomination that causes desolation. So let's go on. Next verse. Please give me just a couple minutes. I want to finish this tonight. And the women were given two wings of a great eagle. Can y'all give me about 10 minutes?
Yeah.
You weren't here last Wednesday. Can you do that? Okay. Because I don't want to cram this down your throat. I really want you to hear this. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Okay, some of our teaching in the past, bless their hearts. I love my old theologians and guys of the past. They say that's America, the great eagle. It is not America. It was taught years ago there was going to be a great airlift, and we're going to lift Israel out of the troubles of the Antichrist, and the American military is going to come in and swoop them. We couldn't even get our people out of Afghanistan. No pun intended. Vietnam. On and on it goes. We're not going to lift an entire nation out of there. I can only tell you just a few things about this. This is not America or some type of airlift. Okay? This simply represents the protection of God. God does this. Only God can protect a nation. Too many scriptures. I'm not going to do it for you. You study. On the wings of eagles. Psalms 91. So many descriptions of the great eagle and God's protection and how he made himself visible with that and symbolic with that. So it's just not, I'm not going to sit there and try to debate it. It's not America. In fact, America's not in Bible prophecy. The name America. The only place you can find us is Mystery Babylon, because I believe we make that connection, and we'll look at that later as we move along. Okay? So some of y'all may have heard that teaching before, but it is not. Now watch this. Here's another example. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. Do you think Israel's going to fly?
No.
What is that? That's poetic symbolism. It's poetic words. Fly, to be delivered, to escape. Jesus said it perfectly in Matthew chapter 24. They were going to flee, right? Yes. Where she's nourished for times and times, have a time from the place, from the face of the serpent. What is he doing here? What is John doing? He's just repeating something he already said. For 3.5 years, they'll be protected. From what? The face of the serpent. Because why? He's mad. He's trying to destroy her. Okay, next verse. And the serpent cast out of his mouth much water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now this is debatable as far as, is it a flood concerning military? Could be. Is it an actual flood? Could be. Has God delivered Israel from both? Yes. Has he opened up the earth and swallowed people up before? Yes. Has he swallowed floods? Yes. So it really doesn't matter at this juncture if it's alien entity, demon power army coming against them, or whether it's an actual flood that spews out of his mouth. Remember, he does have the power to do lying signs and wonders. We don't know, and it really doesn't give us clarity, but we accept it as it's possible either way, but God delivers them. Is that right? Okay, let's go to the next verse. And the earth did what? Helped the woman. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. There it is. Again, we don't know how it happens, but it happens. Does the earth actually open up? Looks like it does. We accept it for what it is. But that isn't the United States opening the earth. That isn't the United States, you know, with a big jackhammer and a shovel after we flew them out of wherever. See how it doesn't make sense? But we try to put... Here's one thing you have to be very careful. Watch this. You need to write this down. You have to be very careful not to put Western Christianity into prophetic reality of the Bible. My culture, the way I live today, is not the same the way the Bible was written. Okay? That doesn't mean it's not... I can't relate to it, or it can't relate to me. It just means I can't interject my Western thoughts. Because if I do, I might find myself in error, because God's like, that's not what I meant. In fact, I wasn't even talking to you. I was talking to them. You know what I mean? See, we read it this way as Christians in America. We read the Bible as though God wrote it specifically for us and for our time period. Well, technically he did, but technically he didn't. He wrote it for all men to apply for all generations. Now, each generation has its own revelation and makes it applicable for their day. But for me to interject my interpretation based on my culture is wrong. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's why we get messed up, especially with you YouTubers. Oh, I want to get over there and just give you a big giant hug and love on you. I mean, I do. I really... Anyways, because you mess people's minds up when you put your symbolism and all. It's just, I can't even speak English when I hear this. You just all these kind of things you want to mix and match, and oh, it's this and it's that. And just look back at September 23rd, 2017, how they said the rapture was going to take place based on Vertigo or Virgo or whoever. I think I said Vertigo earlier. I don't care. And everybody was buying into it. They were sending me emails. It's it, man, the 23rd. No. You haven't even got to the bad stuff. We're not even in the bad. It's terrible what's going on the earth, man. I lament with everybody. I'm heavy in my heart what's happening. But this is nothing compared to what's coming. But here's the key you got to understand. That means God's going to develop us to be able to handle those days. He's going to fit us. He's going to fit us for that day. Okay, so let me finish up. Next verse. And the dragon was pretty happy with the woman. No, he was wroth with the woman. That's a pretty tough word, isn't it? Wroth. He was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Who's that? The church. The remnant of her seed. Not Jesus. He's already in heaven. Right? So it's the remnant of her seed. So we're at war, which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's us. Now you're talking about the mark of the beast. Now you're talking about heads coming off. Now you're talking about being a martyr. Of course, there is martyrs earlier in the book of Revelations in the beginning times, but specifically through the hands of the Antichrist. Now you're talking about the beast system being activated to full force, red alert, DEFCON, whatever, you know. So all the stuff that goes on with people freaking out, you're not even there. We're not there yet. But we're close to the kickoff. We're close to all of these things like a domino happening. But we can't lose sight of that and the moments that we have with God. So he made war. What does that mean? In my closing for this particular chapter, I'm looking at some scriptures. Let me give you these scriptures real quick. Exodus 19, 1 through 5. Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah 40, 31. Numbers 16, 28 through 31. Numbers 16, 28 through 31. Got it? Those are just some scriptures I wanted you to write down that deal with the persecution and the Lord protecting Israel. But listen, what does that mean, the war? And I'm closing with this. Persecution. There will be tremendous persecution for the church. Tremendous persecution. This is why I say some people will relocate. Some people will do this, some people that. Some churches will be on the surface. Some will go underground. Probably many will go underground. The whole world changes its attitude towards Christianity. They already don't like fundamental people or people who really believe in the doctrines. The whole world is changing. The whole Christian mindset's changing. Tolerance towards Christians is changing and changing towards Jews. But it's going to get absolutely worse. And there will be that war. But again, we go back to Revelation 12, verse 11. We overcome him. And we do it by the blood. We do it by the word of our testimony. And we do it by not loving our lives unto the death. It's a powerful, powerful force in these last days. Father, thank you for this opportunity to minister chapter 12. We're so excited, Lord, about the coming days. And not excited about what happens to people, but excited that, Father, if you choose to have us here, that meaning those that are listening, those that are alive right now, wherever they are on this planet, then we know you got a plan for us. And we get to be a part of the final harvest. And that's what I mean. I'm excited about that, Lord, seeing people born again. But we know, regardless, that you're sovereign through it all. Lord, bless the rest of our week. We look forward to Sunday morning right here at Ignited. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. I'll see you Sunday. Be blessed. Thank you for your prayers.